by Fox.
I said, she still has the key card and they never change the locks. So here she is, she's Sarah Frazier, brought to you by Fox. Let's go.
Maureen Ume is my guest today on I Still Have a Key Card.
Is that what you're called? I Still Have a Key Card? I love it. I love it.
Yes, because we were just talking about you started here at Fox 5 in 2002, and I just started doing some casual, like, you know, once in a while stories in 5 years ago, right? So like 2011.
Right.
And at the time, they had given me this all-access key card, and they've never taken it back.
You know what? That's a good sign. That means they like you. You're a keeper.
Is it? Or I feel like they still haven't figured out that I can get in.
Or it could
time.
Be that. Management is a little lax sometimes, but you didn't hear it from me.
So Maureen Ume is my guest today, and
yay!
I'm so excited because you are such a great personality here.
Thank you.
And not only that, but what I am so attracted to you is, like, you're such an outspoken woman, and you're not afraid to talk about your personal life. So
nope.
Today we're going to talk about everything.
Okay, let's do it.
I have a really... You also have a daughter, right?
I do. She's 4 years old. Zula Bean, my little honey buddy.
Zula Bean.
That's what I call... You know why I call her Zula Bean? Because when they give you the sonogram, it looks like a little bean. So she was like my little bean forever. Now she's Zula Bean. I got like a million names for her, but that's my heart.
I love it. Well, yeah. There's a new story out too that about a book that actually is encouraging parents at some point to let their kids quit things. Hmm. And as your daughter is getting older, I want your opinion on that.
Okay.
I also want your opinion on this blog that's gone viral from a guy named Derek Harvey, and it's called The Silent Killer of Relationships.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about that relationships really die because of unmet expectations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want to see how you feel about that.
Okay.
So we're going to get to all those stories.
I do. Interruptus Maximus.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I love this. This podcast is currently in the green room, and every now and then all these people walk in. So some of the things over the weekend, pop culture topics I wanted to talk about. Did you see this whole thing about Will Ferrell now is backing out?
Yeah. Well, he should. I think what's funny about Alzheimer's? He was an idiot to even take the role. I mean, what in the hell made you think, oh yeah, let's make a movie about Alzheimer's and people think it's hysterical? I mean, Will Ferrell, give me a break. That was a dumb move on your part, and shame on you for even delving down this road. So good if he's backing out. It should have never been done in the first place.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I actually wonder, because that was going to be my question to you, is do you think that a disease can ever be funny?
Yeah, you know, like ADD. Or something like that. That's not necessarily a disease, but something like cancer, and you know, there are things you might find humor in someone's condition, like bits and pieces, but not a whole movie about it. Because you have to think about the caregivers and someone with dementia. I mean, this is someone who it's a debilitating disease that eventually kills you. It's hard on the person. It's hard on the family. I just don't think that anyone can watch it and think, oh, this is so funny, haha. Oh, and this is the part where he forgot and he wet his pants, haha. No, nothing funny about that. No, ma'am. Let's move on.
I'm laughing at your script already. But over the weekend, Will Ferrell did back out, by the way, that Ronald Reagan biopic that was going to kind of make fun and make light of his Alzheimer's disease. Will Ferrell was supposed to actually direct it and star in it. I got to tell you this. I was kind of surprised he backed out. And here's why. When I grew up in Maine, my mom, to make money, she was a stay-at-home mom, but she always took care of, we had a neighbor who was diagnosed with dementia and ended up living with us in our home growing up. And so my mom was the caretaker. And you're right. When you take care of someone with dementia or Alzheimer's, it is incredibly, it's very, very stressful.
Absolutely.
And hard and very sad and hard to watch.
Yeah.
But I do think there are also these very comedic moments at times. And so I thought that he could kind of be a person that might be able
but
to
see,
bridge
but
that.
But it's moments. And, you know, I think, okay, but you have to show the full picture. This was billed as a comedy from what I understand. And I don't know how you sustain that, you know, even if there are moments. You're going to have to touch on the hard parts of it. And I just don't see how you make a movie about it. Moreover, it's about Ronald Reagan, who a lot of people revere as like the be-all to end-all president. I just don't think it was going to be a win any way you looked at it. So, Will Ferrell, I'm glad you backed out because this was no bueno.
And I kind of get the vibe, don't you think, that Ronald Reagan's kids are the ones that really put the pressure on me to not do it. I mean, that would be hard. Like,
oh, yeah.
The general public I could get over, but if your kids called me...
Oh, yeah, and you're tweeting, like, heartfelt and long missives about it. Oh, yeah, I don't think Will Ferrell was going to come out of that one in a good way. You know, Hollywood is a mafia, and I'm sorry. It is. From what I've heard. I've heard.
We gotta get Kevin McCarthy on here to dish that.
Yeah, but you know, so the thing is, I think that when you start alienating people of the like people like the Reagans
with Hollywood ties, yeah, right?
I don't think that's a good way to go.
So interesting. I basically want this whole episode to be all about relationships because I always feel
my God. Can I just tell you?
Yes. I want your whole status.
You can't do my whole status. As I said, I'm quasi-single, and I'm still trying to figure out what that really means. But this happened today, this weekend. So funny. So I went to a UN event and met a bunch of people. Met this guy with this other woman. We're talking about our kids. We all have kids about the same age. We decided he suggested a play date. So we're like, oh, great. It was supposed to be Sunday. We're going to have brunch and then across the street's a park. Okay, so we go. My other friend with her son didn't show, so it's just the two of us, and it's raining on Sunday, so there is no park play. We're just at brunch. So the kids are sort of entertaining themselves playing, and I'm talking to him, and it slowly creeps on me like, oh my God, I think I'm on a date. And it turns out it was a total date. I mean, this guy's asking me questions, nice as can be, but I never saw it coming. I just thought of him as like a dad with a kid.
You were on a surprise date.
Totally. He ninja dated me. I mean, totally. I had no idea. And this dude was like asking me questions. He's talking about his relationships. I'm thinking, this is really deep for like a play date with the kids. I don't even know you. I was like, holy crap, I'm on a date right now. And I know, and I would have dressed up nicer. But, you know, maybe left the glasses at home. Hell, worn like nicer jeans. But yeah, so I was ninja dated this weekend.
Well, what's the deal? Are you interested in this guy? Like, do you feel
no,
like
he's
there's
super
any chemistry?
Young, super young. So I never, you know, if I don't look at you from a, if I'm not attracted to you from the get-go, like look at you as that type of person, it's hard for me to come around. And when I first met him, it was a UN event. I thought he was some young, nice guy, but I just never looked at him in that way. And
right.
Now that I feel like he might be looking at me in that way, it's hard to come back around. Because I'm thinking, first of all, I might be old enough to be your mom. That's the first thing. Yeah, he's a youngin'. He's a youngin'.
What was this guy, like 24?
Yeah, like something like that, or 25. I mean, if he's 29, that's like 5 years too much. He's young.
Do you have a cutoff now?
Like younger men. I prefer older.
So you'll go, like, what's your limit for it? Like 3 years younger?
I don't even like that. I just
really?
Don't. Yeah, I've done younger, and I've been like, what the hell were you thinking?
So
I like older men.
Let me ask you this. Is it
not geriatric, but older, right.
Is it hard to date as a public figure in D.C.?
Totally.
Okay,
totally.
So give me like why, you know, as Fox 5 viewers are going to listen to this. And, you know, you're really good because you talk a little bit about your personal life, you know, when you're on Good Day and everything. But why is it so difficult and challenging?
I think because people, well, a lot of them assume that you're not available. That's the first thing. And then maybe men are intimidated. And I hate to say that because there's so many powerful and amazing women in this town. But I think maybe men just, you know, they think maybe you have your stuff too together. And guys like saving women. And I'm saying that this is my opinion. Don't write me with your hate. I think men like saving women, or women who are a little off, so that they can fix them in some way. I had an aunt actually tell me, she said to me, you're too successful. You have your own house, you have your own thing going on, you have your own money. She's like, a guy's never gonna come. You know, and she, you know, and this is a Nigerian woman, you know, in Nigerian society. I mean, if you're not married by the time you're 35, oh my God, your life is over. And so she was very serious that I needed to somehow dumb it down some way to attract a guy. And the older I get, I don't think that's totally invalid.
Really?
I really think guys want a woman that needs a little fixing so they have something to, I don't know, to aspire to. I don't know. That's just kind of what I think now.
That is so interesting.
It may be off, but that's just what I sort of think, that guys like girls who are a little off. Because
really?
My flaky ass friends, oh my God,
they
stay winning with men. All my really great girlfriends who have their stuff together, oh please, come see us on a Saturday night.
Well, okay, so I'm 34. Mm-hmm. I've never been married. Were you ever married before?
I was not, but I came very close. In fact, my last relationship, and I can't share too much, but that bozo, yeah.
No. Wait, is this your daughter's?
No,
Okay.
It's the guy I was engaged to before my daughter's dad and I got together. So, but he, you know, my whole life was set. We were getting married. Everything was right. Then I totally found out that it was, he was not who he purported to be.
Oh!
Yeah,
that's the story.
Oh, it's delicious. If I could really share, I would. But he's a big deal, so I can't say much more than that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God! How was that? How devastating was that?
Oh, completely. You know, we were when things really went south was we'd gone to Paris and you know, I was expecting an engagement. Like we were gonna, this was like the ring and everything, because we were pretty much saying we were engaged and we were moving around as a couple. And then all of a sudden, like, stuff started changing, and he became like this person I didn't know. And you're trying to figure out, well, what's wrong? Is it me? You know, what's going on? Why are you being distant? But then you just again found out that it was just not to be.
Really?
Yeah.
So was he just sort of lying about many, many things that he had?
Yeah. And when you have a lot of power and wealth, you can lie very effectively. You know, every problem is solved with incredible gifts and trips and homes and cars and
people don't question that.
Oh, like, no, they don't. You know, but the thing is, for me, I those aren't trappings that matter to me. You know, I think if you've never seen that before, maybe you're swayed by it. I wasn't. So there was always something wrong, and I knew it in my gut. But the more I kept expressing it, my friends were like, are you kidding me? He treats you amazing. Hell, he treats us amazing. You know, so they were encouraging. And I kept saying, no, I don't think so. You know,
wow.
Yeah.
I do think it's hard too, don't you think? Like, once you have that kind of experience, like when you get really close to marriage too, and then moving forward from that, because I was almost engaged. Yeah. And it's like, once you have that experience, then I feel like you are sort of awakened maybe a little bit to more of like what, and how difficult relationships really are, right? Like, everybody.
It's true. I mean, relationships are hard. And for me, again, the men who are eligible, my viewpoint, you know, I think are eligible, they're either all already married and they, like, want to cheat. Because I get that, too. It's like, oh, you'd be perfect because we both have a lot to lose. You married men, stop it. Now, you guys are truly bozos. but I get a lot of married guys who hit on me, and that is so not cool. And then it makes you question yourself, like, what am I putting out there that you think it'd be cool to, like, dip out like that? You know? Oh. Just not good.
But you, I feel like you and I are kindred spirits in the sense, like, we're a good time. And a guy can read
see.
That.
Yeah. You see, that's what they think, right?
Well, I want to ask you about this blogger. His blog post has gone viral. And basically, he's been married to his wife for, like, 6 years. And long story short, they ended up going to this marriage counseling session, and this marriage counselor basically said the number one reason that people break up has nothing to do with cheating, money issues. Which it all comes down to unmet expectations, which you can argue then lead to money issues as well as cheating and all that.
I agree.
But when I read this article, and the guy's name is Derek Harvey, I was just like, oh my God, don't you think that is the truth? That is really what it all comes down to. And his advice is to actually lower your expectations. So
aunt was right.
So I wanted to get your opinion on that. Do you think that's true?
I think it is. I think it is, because when you build someone up to something that they can't be, I think that's where you start looking at them differently. And maybe there's a deficiency in you and that you're looking for them to fill. Ooh. And that's why now your expectations or whatever of them is skewed, and you're feeling like somehow they're not the person. To me, the strongest relationships are the ones where you come to the relationship whole. Don't look for someone else to complete you. Mm. You should be a complete person, and that person just compliments you. And I think that's where the expectations thing no longer comes into play. Right. You know, we're all human, we're all fallible, and so I think you have to come to a relationship very realistic that, look, you may not meet all my needs, but I'm a full person, and you're here to compliment me, not complete me. You know?
Oh, I love that.
Well, thank you. Every once in a while, I have sage moments.
No, it's true. It's really tough. Yeah. And I do think as an independent woman, it becomes more and more difficult. Because you're right. I mean, I was having this discussion with my mom, and she was just saying, you know, over the years, she's 68, and she's in an okay marriage, more a marriage now of friendship and nothing else, you know? But she was talking about it, and she was like, you know, really, in her observation, the relationships that really work are when one person is almost dependent, or, you know, you really have a leader and a follower.
Yeah.
Like, that works. But when people.
You're bringing me into like what this is what I really believe. I'm very traditional.
Tell us that.
I'm really traditional. I believe that the man is the head of the household and the woman should be the helpmate. I hate when people think that women should be like in the forefront and run the household. It's against, to me, the natural order. Now, I'm Catholic, okay? And I don't wear my religion on my sleeve, but there are a lot of traditional values I really hold to. I think that nowadays women want to be men. You're not the man. You're not the head of the household. Let the man lead. Okay, that doesn't make you deficient in any way. And I actually think it makes you stronger, because when everyone plays the role that they're supposed to, I think that's where you have a good order. Now, I'm not talking about gay couples or whatever. I'm talking about, you know, just male-female dynamics here. So, yeah, I don't think that a woman being a little bit so-called, quote-unquote, weaker in a relationship makes her in any way less. I think there are definite roles that we play that complement each other and make the unit stronger. You know, man can't do some things a woman can do, and vice versa. Each person has their definitive role, and I think that is what helps build a strong relationship. So, yeah, you know, don't that whole strong black woman thing that people try to, like, a banner people try to put on me, please take that away from me. I have no time for that. It's like, I don't think that, no, I'm serious. Yeah. I don't think that people, like, being a single mom, nobody chooses to be a single parent. Who the hell, are you crazy? You know, ideally, it's the hardest thing you've ever done. It's the worst. It's almost like it should be like a condition, single mom, you know. I think it's the worst. And I'm kind of dovetailing into a lot of more serious topics. And
no, I love that. That's what this is about.
But seriously, but that's what I believe. I think that people should, you know, the whole notion of we don't need people and I can do it by myself. Hell no, you cannot.
But wait a minute, Maureen, because this is so interesting that you feel that way. Because just knowing you in the brief moments that I come here, I cannot picture you then going into a household where you really let the man lead.
Oh, totally. I am Nigerian. And in my household, my mom and dad, you know, they're best friends. They've been married 40-something odd years. You know, my dad is very strong, but, you know, my mom is very strong too, you know. My dad lets my mom basically, you know, it's her house, she runs it, you know, very traditional. My mom hypes up my dad. It's like they're a great unit. They're friends.
Okay.
You know, and that's the model I had growing up. Okay. My mom doesn't want to be the head of the household. My dad doesn't want to be, you know, doesn't make her feel like what she does is not important. Both are, my dad's a doctor. My mom, you know, used to run a college. And so it's like each one of them has their own strengths, but then they come together as a unit to make the family work.
So, but when you say like, okay, when you say he's the head of the household, right. So I'm assuming that your dad makes like all the financial decisions.
No.
Okay, so no. So see, this is what, in my mind, I'm envisioning. So when you say the man is the head of the household, then what does that mean?
I think from a position of strength, like, you know, there's certain things that a man can do that a woman can't. You know, when you present a family, you know, the father sets the tone for how the family is supposed, the structure of the family. The mother helps enforce it. And you raise children who grow up, you know, I guess, well-adjusted children who see the dynamic at play and see what it means to have a strong unit that works for one common goal, which is like the betterment of the family. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I don't mean like a guy who's like this macho, do as I say, not as I do. And
who's making all the financial decisions.
No, and the woman is like, kept like in the dark. And
the house is only in his name. He buys all the cars.
No.
Okay.
Like my dad probably doesn't know how much he's made in his lifetime because he makes money and gives it to my mom. My mom does whatever.
Got
you know?
It. Okay, you know? No, I'm down for this okay agreement. I thought it was more like he sort of was making all those bigger family decisions.
Oh, no.
Okay, no, I'm on
board. They discuss it, yeah.
All right. Yeah. We're looking for the same guy.
I know, really. And maybe that's, I keep looking for my dad, you know, because to me, he's like the perfect guy. But, you know, again, just like the expectations. I try not to have any. It's like, let me complete myself. And hopefully the person who's equally as complete will present themselves honestly. Don't be BSing.
I know. We gotta lower those expectations. Like, when they walk in, we're just gonna go, okay, con artist. And then when they're telling the truth, we're pleasantly surprised.
I know.
This loser.
Yeah.
All right, I want to shift gears to a local story. This story over the past week or so that Fox 5 has been covering of the firefighter, the female firefighter who took her own life. Well, one of the stories that's come out from this is that apparently she may have even been trolled by her own fellow firefighters. And one of the websites that was allowing this was a website called Fairfax Underground. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've read this story where the guy who is the owner of that website and the moderator has basically said, look, this is Fairfax County Fire Department's way of deflecting onto me. Mm-hmm. Because Fairfax County Fire Department is saying to him, you need to take down these comments where people were trolling her about her appearance, apparently who she'd slept with, you know, various things. So I wanted to get your opinion on this as more and more of these Reddit-type websites.
Right.
And here locally, you've got Fairfax Underground. I don't know if you've ever heard of the website DC Urban Moms.
No, but I need to go on that
now. You do. You're probably on it.
Shut up.
I don't want to tell you.
Well, people talk at smack?
Oh, yeah. Well, people talk crap about me on there.
Yeah.
I mean, they talk a lot of shit about local media personalities.
Okay.
On Urban Moms, and it's not at all moderated.
Oh, wow.
as far as I know.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know your opinions on this. So the guy who runs that says, look, the onus should not be on me. If people report it, which he alleges they didn't, mm-hmm. I would take it down. And if her family reached out, I would take it down. But otherwise, it's not my responsibility.
He's absolutely right. I mean, you're running a website and giving people a platform to talk about whatever they want to. If no one flagged it, why should he be the one responsible to go through all these massive posts and then decide who's being mean and who's being nice? Yeah, the fire department should have, if they had to have known that there had to have been rumblings that, you know, this is being discussed right. and that something's happening. Someone in the higher echelons of power there should have been like, okay, let's nip this in the bud. But to have the guy who runs a website where people come in to talk whatever, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, it's not it's not on him. He's absolutely right. He may be an a-hole for, you know, sort of being flippant about it if that's his tone, but he's running a business. I know, nothing to see here.
Really?
And I say nothing to see here in a sense that I know if someone lost their life, but it's not his place to police that.
I just wonder as we get, you know, more and more of these instances coming out of either workplace bullying or, you know, if you're bullying a teenager mm-hmm. and a lot of these websites, I wonder how much longer they will exist because...
Oh, forever.
You think so?
Oh, forever. I mean,
I feel like people are putting such a kibosh on, mm-hmm. and now Reddit is moving to
it. It just goes to a different platform because people mm-hmm. have the need to gossip and to be mean and to do it in an anonymous platform. It feeds into that inner sort of evil that far too many people have, and I think they always will find a platform to spew their venom. So if it's not on that particular website, they're going to find another way to do it, plain and simple.
Yeah. I think that story is so interesting for us because yeah. I've seen those sites and seen some mm-hmm. of the things they write about people, and it's like, oh my God. And
yeah.
God forbid if you were depressed
or
like we were talking about, you weren't complete mm-hmm. and then you're on that site reading things about yourself. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like I try not to go to any of those sites, and ones that I do know of, I try not to look at it because it could become obsessive. Now you're checking it all the time to see what someone said about you or you know, responded to you or responded to something someone did say. It's too consuming. And frankly, you shouldn't give your energy to it. Because no matter what, you could be the best person in the world, you're always going to have a hater. There's always going to be a detractor, you know. So that person will find a way to let you know that they don't like you. So
well, and that, of course, you know, is bringing up more and more, mm-hmm. and especially for you and mm-hmm. anybody in the public light.
Yeah.
How often do you get comments from the audience that are negative or could be perceived as bullying?
Every once in a while. I don't call it bullying. I really don't like the word bullying. I think it's become overused, and everything
it's
now
like
is bullying. I get some comments now again. I mean, most of it is like, okay, my weight has fluctuated, but here's the thing, I don't really care.
Amazing.
Because look, I know, can I stand to lose a few lbs? Absolutely. Am I working on it? Sure. But it doesn't define who I am, and you know, and so I don't let anyone who says that sort of you know, set the tone. Does it sting a little bit sometimes? Sure. But I don't give a rat's. You know, I go home, put on my mom hat, do my thing, you know, I do a lot of other things, and when I come to work, I come to work to do that and do it well, I hope. And if I'm not ruffling some feathers, I don't think I've done a good job. And that's what I love about Good Day, is that especially when we have the controversial topics that come up, I love giving my opinion because, look, I'm on here because I have a strong viewpoint, you know, and it's a viewpoint that a lot of people don't have because of my upbringing. You know, I grew up all over the world, and, you know, and I have a different worldview on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm trying to lord it over people, but I think I look at things differently, even than Americans, Black Americans even. I have a different viewpoint. And so when I share my experiences or come to a topic and have a different viewpoint, that's me. That's who I am. I'm not hiding it, and I never will. And if you don't agree with it, that's cool. We can agree to disagree, but I'm not going to shut up. That's for sure.
I love that. And we kind of talked about the angry Black woman complex that a lot of people have. Do people, you know, say anything to you about that? Being outspoken?
No, I get
great.
People actually say, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I get more, I've never had anyone say, oh, I take that back. One woman tried to come at me the other day. We're talking about Baltimore and how, you know, the a year later, it's still a mess. And I said, you know, it's criminal that the government would let this sort of fester. You know, and I was saying in the context of, look, don't pour money into other places and then keep this neglected community in neglect. You should do more because it needs to be done. Nobody wants to live in blight and filth and drug dealers. Everyone wants to have some kind of hope. And if there's money available, that should happen. Well, of course, she was trying to take me to task. Well, if you're so passionate, why don't you take your own money? It's not government's job, blah, blah, blah. You know, to which I said, well, listen, as far as doing things for your information, I do things in the community to help out. And what I'm saying is that the onus is on all of us to help build a better society.
Yeah.
It should never be this whole thing of I'm pointing my finger and it's you people and those people, because God forbid one day you might be that person.
Oh,
you
know? That's the truth.
So,
right?
So don't act like you're above it, or because you somehow pulled yourself up from your bootstraps. Well, look, maybe you were given boots to begin with and somebody else wasn't. You know, do I agree with some of the behavior? Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean I can't have compassion and empathy. And I think that's what people miss, is the compassion and empathy. They think it's just, you're lazy, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. No, learn the whole story before you start pointing fingers, you know?
So true. So true. It is about learning the whole story. So we were talking about your daughter, who's 4 years old.
My babe.
There's an interesting new book out by a woman who's also a mom, and her name is Angela Duckworth, and the book is called Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. But she's getting a lot of discussion, or bringing up a lot of discussion, because essentially she's saying you should let your children, especially at young ages, quit things that they don't like. In fact, you can learn a lot from quitting. And she even...
I like her already.
So she says, actually, by letting a kid quit, oftentimes they'll develop the grit to do something else. And she also says that when kids are little, they are not going to put any effort into something that they don't like, which she ultimately says that people should honor. As a child grows older, seeing things through becomes more important. She says a child in elementary school should be able to stick with things for more than a few weeks. A middle school age child should be able to do a full year or season. And once the child is in high school, research suggests that spending more than a year on a single season on an activity is important. So 2 seasons, 2 years, something like that. So I just wanted to know, because I would tell this, but my grandfather always gave me the advice, you can always quit. And I loved that advice. And as I got older and shared it, people would always say to me, oh my God, that's terrible advice. And I think what he always meant, especially in the workplace, is he always meant, if you're unhappy, your health and your happiness is not worth seeing something through because somebody told you that. And I always loved that, because I think a lot of times people get caught up. So I wanted to know what your thought is, and especially with a daughter.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I if my daughter wanted to quit something, I think it's fine, because I think it builds character when you're able to discern, look, I don't like this. I'm not going to live vicariously through my daughter, which I think too many parents want to do. So she's in a lot of lessons now. She takes ballet, tennis, swimming. I want to give her a chance to try everything. Then you pick the ones you want. We did gymnastics. She hated it. We didn't go back. Now she's asking to do it again. You know, she's a little older and she wants to. But yeah, quitting, oh yeah, I'm all about quitting. I'll quit in a minute. Oh yeah, I'll quit.
Corinne's walking out of this
podcast. Exactly, so I'm quitting now. Yeah, quitting is not for losers. I say there's a lot of... quitting can be healthy, so yes.
Why
quitters unite.
Now, is it like my grandfather's philosophy, it's not worth your unhappiness, or why do you feel like quitting is a good thing?
I think you're right. It's not worth your unhappiness. If something isn't working... why are you beating your head up against the wall? That's the universe telling you this ain't it. Find another way. You know, so many people get into this thing of I have to do this and it's got to be this way. And they miss all the other opportunities around them. You know, maybe you're trying to become this prima ballerina, and in your spare time lamenting how you're not good, you're doodling, and you don't even recognize what a wonderful artist you are because you're so busy trying to be this. We weren't all created to do the same thing, you know? We have different talents for a reason. If we were all the same, we'd be some sort of alien cyborg planet where, you know, we're not all meant to do the same thing. Know your lane. Stay in your lane. Y'all can't be chiefs. Need some minions.
I know. It's so true. It's so true. I love, love, love. The book is called Grit. I think that was great. I also wanted to get, because, you know, when I'm here on Tuesdays,
yes,
we do our Love and Order.
Love it. Yes.
I get most of the advice. Some of it I can't even send to you. It's a lot of like, I have this foot fetish. I'd like to ask this person to lick their toes.
I got a lot of that. I got a lot of that. I posted my shoes I wore last week, just thinking they were cute, like for the ladies. I got men like commenting, and I think a few women too, come to think of it, about my toes. I'm like, y'all are some sick effers out here.
Oh, I know. Well, I do need to, you know, I'm going to forward it to Matt Gaffney, who's the morning show producer, but I did get an email a couple weeks ago of a woman who wants to know when a fetish is like too much.
Oh, that's
and
a good one.
This is a guy who enjoys wearing a penis chastity belt.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Look, just Google that.
Yeah.
And you're,
I think in my mind's eye, I'm seeing something that probably just gouge out my mind's eye right now.
And wow. She says they've been on a couple dates. He's very lovely. And now he's presented this fantasy fetish. I don't know, maybe craziness.
Oh, how Sarah.
Do you know? See, I don't even know. Most of the time, I don't even know what advice to give people, which is why I give it to you, because I'm like...
That's a tough one.
I don't know what I would say.
Because I guess it's the same, like, you date a guy, he's wonderful. Then when you get down to doing the do, you find out, like, he's into some alternate stuff. You're like, oh, you are not peeing on me. Right? or some crap like that, right? I don't know. Is exactly. that an automatic deal breaker if they're great everywhere else?
I don't know.
It might be because sex is such an important part of like a relationship, right?
Here's my thing. Now, I don't know how you, because you and I have a lot of the same relationship philosophies, right. but the older I get, the more, I guess, I have no more rules. So I'm like, I'll entertain some of your crazy, like, find out, like, is it that odd? Maybe I'm not as open.
But sex should be enjoyable for both parties. And if something makes you supremely uncomfortable, but it gives that other person such pleasure, at what point do you say, okay, for you, I will tolerate this, you know, much like you hear a lot of women talk about, you know, like oral sex, you know, and a lot of them say they do it for the men, not for them. I mean, I have never met a girl who's like, oh, I love it. You know, most people are like, this is, they call it a BJ for a reason. Yeah. It's a job. So I've never met that. True. Although, no, there was that one girl who, anyway, I digress. But yeah, I, when you're crazy is weird.
I know.
See, oh, that's a tough one.
I'm going to pitch that one to Matt. But I was going to tell you, for women who don't enjoy the BJ, there's actually a class here in D.C. that a woman provides, and it's called Blow His Mind.
Shut up.
There's a guest for Fox 5.
Shut up. Dead I am doing this serious. All wrong. Someone has a business teaching other girls how to...
Yeah, I've been to her class.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to invite you.
I don't know how to suck. I think I did. No, just kidding.
She actually, her whole shtick, because I had to take this class, she actually believes that you can learn to enjoy it. And the first thing you do when you get to the class is you actually carve your own penis.
Stop.
Dead. Just stop. Serious.
I'm like all the way dead right now. Just
Rita,
stop.
Rita the Diva.
Just stop.
We got to have her on here.
Just stop. Just stop. There are just some things. No.
I wanted to get this advice before I ask you about some behind the scenes stuff here on Fox 5. So this was an email from a listener that I had. And he says, did you always know that you wanted to have a child? Mm. So I wanted to ask you this. The guy says, I am a 24-year-old gay man, and I still don't know if I want to have children or not. I feel that by this point I should know, but I don't. When I date, the subject inevitably comes up, and I never know how to respond. I used to think that children were an expense I would never want, but now the thought pops into my head from time to time. People have told me I'd be a great dad. I think so, too. When and how will I know for sure?
Ooh.
Did you ever know you wanted to be a mom?
I've known. I've always wanted to be a mom.
Really?
Absolutely. Okay. Always wanted kids. Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that some people just know, and then some people have to grow into. He's only 24. That's awfully young. I know there's some people who are parents that young, but at 24, you're just barely figuring out your own life. I think you have time, gay, straight, whatever, to decide on the kids. You know, give it a while, and then you might meet someone that totally changes your perception of what you want. You know, there are a lot of people who know they don't want kids, and they're very fulfilled being with a partner and traveling the world, or you know, nieces and nephews sort of fit that thing for them, and they don't need to be physical parents. You know, they kind of parent in different ways. So I think you
give yourself more time.
Give yourself time to know. I mean, unless you're that person like me, like you just knew you wanted to be a mom, you know, and for me, I've always known I wanted to be a mom.
Really?
Yeah. I love kids.
I don't know either.
See, and that's okay because I have a friend.
I need to start. Yeah. I mean, I'm 34. Like, I think I need to really think about this seriously because, I mean, my time is...
Well, no, they scare the hell out of you. And they're, like, telling you, you know, after a certain age, like, your kid's going to have, like, a third eyeball in the middle of their head if you don't get pregnant, like, today. You know, the doctor did that to me. I hated that, you know.
Would you know... So did you take that advice? Was that, like, pressure?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I was getting pressure all around. My mom, my family, you know. Everybody. So when my last relationship broke up, I knew I wanted to be a parent. And so I was making the decision to actually do it alone.
Got it.
And that's where my daughter's father comes into the picture. You know, we're friends and we were like, hey...
Let's do this.
And
really?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever date, or was that like
the
agreement?
We kind of did, but not really. You know, but we were friends. You know, and so it was the darndest thing. And it's a weird story.
That is awesome.
Yeah, but we co-parent her, and we're cool now. Actually, I think like he wants to be like in my Kool-Aid, but I'm not sure that I'm sipping what he's putting down.
That is so free. Have you ever done a story on that?
Oh, that's never. Amazing. This is the first time I've actually talked about it, like, openly, you know, because everyone's been wondering what my situation is. Like, is Maureen dating?
Too.
Yeah, but see, I'm quasi-singles because there are all these people who could be potentials. And if I want you to be a potential, that's why you're there.
This guy, though, sounds so cool. So, like, he did this and there's never been, you're 4 years in, no jealousy, no, like,
no.
I want, you know, I want more custody or I want this.
Oh, no, no. He's
really?
Not that guy. We were, you know, I think... When you come at something so matter-of-factly, and it's like, this is
so
how
honest.
It is, and I don't know, maybe it's my personality, I just don't entertain nonsense in that way, you know, there's no drama around me, so even through the whole thing, there was dialogue, you know, he's always had keys to my house, he comes and sees Zoo all the time, you know, so there isn't, and even when he was kind of being like someone I didn't quite know, he went through like a headspace issue for a while, I never disparaged him, and I never will. It's just me. That's just who I am, and so, and I'm glad that I've been lucky to know. Even if I call a guy a bozo, I've been very lucky to know really good men throughout my life. You know, really honorable, great guys. And even if the relationship didn't work out, I can't say you're a bad person.
Oh, I know.
You know,
it's
like you're just. I'm lucky. I know some really good dudes. You know?
That is freaking amazing. I love that. Okay, that like gives me hope. Then I'm like,
no,
oh,
totally.
Maybe I'm just like. Yeah.
I mean, it's a very unorthodox relationship, but it works, you know, and I said to him, look, your relationship with Zula is what you make of it. You know, I'm not, whatever she thinks of you is how you present it, because I will never give her a bad picture of you. If I'm mad at you or whatever, it's like your relationship is hers. And so if she wakes up one day and says, Dad did X, Y, Z, and that's what you did, I will never be the one that she could say, well, my mom used to tell me my dad was this. No, that's not us.
And then how does your arrangement work? Does Zoo see him like every other weekend?
Oh, yeah. He's at our house all the time. So yesterday was he's Orthodox Christian. So was their Easter yesterday. We were at his aunt's house. So my daughter's great aunt. The whole family was there. So we were there last night. We were eating Eritrean food. We were, you know, taking pictures, and you know, it was a fun time. You know, they love my family. I love theirs. It's a weird situation. I mean, I'm sure everyone would want us to get married, but you know, including my daughter. You know, she's a little confused sometimes, but, you know, we're like,
Oh, well, you know. Yeah. Oh, my God, that is so fascinating.
She goes to school and tells people, Mommy and Daddy are getting married. I'm like, no.
So you're the teachers. I know. Oh, Maureen, congrats.
That happened. And I was like, congrats on what? Oh, Zula said. I said, no. Then I was like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Isn't that I love how open you are, because I feel like that is the future, right?
It has
unconventional
to be.
Relationships, like just like going for what you want.
Yeah.
I think that is so, if people just accepted that from the start, I think it would save people so
but
much.
But then
heartache.
People think you're lying when you're that honest, because I always say I'm honest to a fault. I'll tell you the deal, you know, but people then think, oh, there's no way. You've got to be lying about something. You know, I know you and him are still, it's like, no, we co-parent, you know. Now, if I were, I have no reason to lie. I'd be like, oh yeah, me and him are together.
Yeah,
would I like
would
to
be
with you too?
Oh my God, Maureen, I love this conversation. Well, I wanted to ask you this because every time I'm in, there's always, and I never see anybody actually win this, but there's this thing here at Fox 5 with these damn Fox 5 mugs.
I know.
What
oh
the hell
God.
Is up with the mug? First of all, I have so many questions. There's so many damn rules. When you see this thing come up, the rules underneath are like you want to cruise. It's all for this damn mug. I'm like, what in the hell?
I'll tell you what. I've never seen anyone actually win one either. I'm beginning to think that this is some kind of a farce that Fox 5 is running, because I've never seen... We actually ran a picture of a guy today with a mug. I believe he was a stunt double. I have never seen these mugs. In fact, the ones we have in the studio, we've had them since they rebuilt that studio. And I started to take one day to give to someone who's been bugging me about these damn mugs. I'm like, well, you might as well have it, because I don't know who picks it and how you win. And I even asked, I said, do these mugs exist in a room somewhere? Is that what's going on? And I was kind of like sort of shooed away. So I don't know what's up with these mugs.
Thank you. Well,
but
I was scolded as well one day. I was drinking out of it and I started to walk out thinking I would take it. And I don't know if it was Max or one of the camera guys were like, oh, hey, we're going to need that mug back. I was like, okay.
I know.
I'm like, this damn mug.
You know, and are the old ones now, I mean, what do they do with the ones that didn't have Dunkin' Donuts on them? Because we've got the new Dunkin' Donuts right. mug, perfect for that Dunkin' Donuts cup of coffee. Yeah, I don't know. If I could swipe a mug for you, I would, but who knew? Girl, I need my job.
Hot commodity.
Right?
What I people know. Do for swag.
Man, for real.
Maureen, you've been such an amazing treat. Oh, my God.
This was fun.
You're so, so fascinating.
Thank you.
Tell everybody listening, where can they follow you, see more of you?
Oh, my
gosh. Give us the details.
Okay, so Maureen underscore Ume, U-M-E-H. That's my Instagram handle. I'm on Twitter as well, Maureen Ume. What is it? Fox TV?
I think so.
I forget. Yeah, I'm on there too. You know, I got to tell you, my social media game is whack as all get out. I am trying to build it, but I have a block. I really do, because it's a thing of oversharing. I always question, like, okay, who cares about this? And I'll tell you how.
Oh my God, everybody.
But that's what I can't understand why. I posted something so stupid the other day, a picture, and did like a three different, okay, something totally superficial and stupid. People went crazy.
They love
Meanwhile,
that.
I post them doing a walk for like missing kids, 10 people. Like, you know, I'm so disheartened. I'm like, really? So today I posted a picture of my stupid lipstick. I'm getting like all these clicks and likes. I'm like, really, people? Is this what you want? My lipstick, my shoes, and like stupid selfie poses?
Don't you think? Because that used to bother me too. And it's the same thing. Like the same thing if I'm on Snapchat or whatever. You know, people love the whole, which shoe should I wear?
Right.
So now I just give it to people because I feel like, you know, there's... You just need to check out from life a lot, I think, online. And that's what it comes down to. And then, you know, you keep weaving in the good charity things. But that makes people have to think, you know, that brings you back to reality of like, what's really going on. So keep posting the lipstick.
I'm getting the hang of it. But yeah, if you look at my Instagram page, it's pretty tragic. I'm building up, though. I post one inane thing a day now. I'm trying. And then on Twitter and my Facebook public page, that's where I'm trying to do more stuff like the Facebook mentions with topics. But I'm also sort of straddling the line of what can I say and what can I not do. That's why I love this. I feel like I've been the most open this conversation. No, really, because people, it's a fine line. You know, you're thinking, well, I'm supposed to be a serious journalist, but at the same time, I'm like this girl who's, look, I'm trying to figure it out too. I don't know.
I
told you, like, you know, I cuss like a sailor, which is, yes, I speak cuss fluently. I do.
I hope we're moving, and I hope this podcast helps do that. But because I do think, like, you guys are, you're people outside of the news. And I don't know. I hope we're moving to a place where the audience, because they seem to crave that. They seem to want that. Mm-hmm. But it is tricky for you guys because then you got to go and report some serious, sad news. And then you want to come back and talk about your lipstick.
Exactly.
You have a really tough job to straddle.
It is. It is. And I think as we continue to define that, you know, maybe it'll get easier. But right now, my mind hasn't quite clicked on the whole social media and how much to share and how much not to share, you know, and to keep to yourself. And because people already think they know you. And then when you really start putting out there and then everyone has an opinion on your life, I don't subscribe well to that. You know, mind your business.
That is true. So you got to take the good and the bad. The more you put out, the more people are going to be like, oh, Maureen, I liked you better with this hair. Now you look ugly.
Like, see, and that's when I dial it back, like, oh, really? And I go like, oh, Michael Jackson on you. And like, I'll cover like my kid's face with a blanket and you won't see him again until they're 18.
Just don't dangle her over
I know.
Over
that was last week. Yeah. I don't do it every week.
Maureen has been such a treat. Follow her. Thank you guys so much for listening to I Still Have a Key Card. And you can also check out my podcast, which I have on iTunes, called Hey Frase, H-E-Y-F-R-A-S-E. That's where you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm on Snapchat, Hey Frase Show. Bye, everybody.
Bye.